All right, good evening. Oh, come on. I know you ate and you're ready for a nap, but we can do better than that. All right, let's try that again. Good evening. There we go. All right, I got to make sure you're awake before I start preaching, all right? And we are the Hazel Schwert family. I've already had multiple people come up and ask, how do you say that last name? We get that just about everywhere we go. So if while we're here during the conference, please get our prayer card. It has a little cheat sheet at the bottom underneath our last name to help you with that. And then the easiest way to remember it that I tell everyone everywhere we go is that I personally have hazel eyes and I'm a little bit short. So remember, hazel, short, it gets you close enough. If not, when my wife and I came back from our survey trip to Kenya, Africa, we didn't have prayer cards or anything. We just jumped right in deputation. And the first church we ever dropped in on a Wednesday night, the pastor didn't even try to say her last name. He just started spelling it out. He got about halfway through of spelling it out. And then he put the prayer card down and he put it to a church vote to change our last name to Smith. So if you want to call us the Smith family, I am completely okay with that as well. All right, amen. That makes it easier for everybody. But we are sent out of Faith Baptist Church in Chelsea, Michigan. That's our home area. We are with Fundamental Baptist Missions International, and we're joining Team East Africa, which is four other church planting missionaries that we will be joining based out of Nairobi, Kenya. We're excited. My wife and I, when we went on our survey trip in September of 18, we stayed with two of those families, and they are family now, and that is home now. Amen. We're just trying to get back as soon as we can and be a part of the work there and continue to help in the process of the furtherance of the gospel. I want to say this. We're known as Team East Africa because really our long-term goal, our long-term vision is not to just see the gospel contained to Kenya. There are several countries around Kenya that are either limited to our ability to go in and out of or completely closed to our ability to go in and out of. But God has given us the blessed opportunity that there are many refugees from those countries in Kenya that we're praying that by reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and training them up, that God will place a burden on their hearts to go back to their own people and to see churches planted that way. And so please pray for us as we aim to reach people with the gospel, disciple, and to see local churches established where there are no gospel preaching churches. Amen. And so we're excited about that. And then just a couple things about Kenya. It's about the size of Texas, but has double the amount of population. They estimate over 53 million souls alone in the country of Kenya. Also, there are 110 different people groups. 32 of them have still never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're looking at ways that we can get into and reach those unreached people groups and bring the gospel to them. And so please pray for us. We've been full-time for exactly 1 year now, and we're at about 31%. And so I always say in the Lord's will and His timing, but our personal goal is by the end of next year, we would like to be on the field and a part of the team there and reaching souls for Christ there. So we're excited. That's a little bit about who we are and how God's called us and where we're going. And if you have any questions afterwards, please see me, and I'd love to answer that. But if you have your Bible, go to 2 Samuel chapter 9 with me. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And if you would with me, would you just stand for a couple of minutes as I read verses 1 through 11 out of respect towards God's Word. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called on him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness, the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amuel and Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amuel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, the master's son, shall eat bread at my table, at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just pray for the next few minutes, Lord. Lord, I pray, would you, Lord, I need you right now. Lord, I pray that you would help me to remove myself out of the way. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to come down and just use me as your mouthpiece here this evening. Lord, I pray that you would give each and every one of us, Lord, exactly what it is that we need here tonight, Lord, and all that is done. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would challenge our hearts, Lord, that you would convict us where we need it, Lord, that you would encourage us and strengthen us in your word, Lord, especially as we go out these doors into this world, Lord, and try to be a light and a witness to those in darkness. Father, most of all, thank you for just Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross that we can have eternal life, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to try to move quickly because Pastor said about a quarter till. But 2 Samuel chapter 9, when we look at this passage, most of us think of the beautiful illustration that we see between King David and Mephibosheth, and just that illustration that we have there of us before God and who we really are and God's kindness and his mercy towards us as sinners. Amen. When I first began preaching, I started out in the nursing home. Now, listen, if you're a young man in the room and you're thinking God wants you to preach, or he's calling you to preach, the nursing home is a wonderful place to start, because it doesn't matter what you say or how dumb you sound, they're sleeping anyway, amen? And I just remember many times, there was one time I was preaching, I got excited about something, and I clapped, and half of them about had a heart attack, and I had to apologize, and then I said, "But I'm not sorry," and I just kept going on and preaching. And so many good memories from starting out in the nursing home, amen, and getting my feet wet and preaching. But one of the men, when we were just afterwards fellowshipping, one of the men that was in charge of the nursing home at our church was just saying how this portion of Scripture was his favorite portion of Scripture in all the Bible because of that beautiful illustration. Now, when I was just starting out preaching, I thought, amen, this will be a great, great message to preach the next time I'm at the nursing home or in the prison when I was preaching in the prisons. But as I began to study this and meditate upon this, God led me in a whole nother direction that was such a blessing. I pray that will be an encouragement, a blessing, and even a challenge to you tonight. And then as we look a lot at David, we look at a lot at Mephibosheth, but I believe that we miss out by looking at some things we can learn from Ziba. I know some people say Ziba, I say Ziba, and so sorry if that's not how you say it. But I believe that we can learn just real quick tonight six things that we can see from Ziba. And this is the thought tonight, is this: a servant's true heart. A servant's true heart. Look at verse 1 with me again. It says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he." The first thing I see is that he was an available servant. We see that David says, is there anyone that's left? We got to remember at this time when a new king took the throne, a lot of times they killed off the old family or they locked them up because they didn't want them to try to come back and take the throne. But David actually says, because of his relationship with Jonathan, he says, is there anyone left that I can show him kindness? And they tell him that Ziba, that used to be the servant of Saul, would know. And he immediately, look at the end of verse 2 there, it says, and he said, "Thy servant is he." We see his answer. When David called unto him, he came. And then we see his attitude. He says, "Thy servant is he." So the application, the challenge tonight is, are we an available servant for our King? Are we an available servant for the Lord Jesus Christ? When he calls us, I'm not saying he's called you to go halfway around the world like he has our family. But when you go outside these doors, it's a mission field. Amen. There are people lost in darkness that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if he's nudging on your heart when you're out in the store, when you're at work to witness to your coworker, do we hear his voice? Do we answer? Are we so busy in just our lives and our routine that we don't even hear him? We don't even answer. And so the first challenge is he was an available servant. Look at verse 3. And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Jonathan said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." The second thing we see here that the Lord just kind of gave me as an application is that he was an aware servant. He was available. But when David says, "All right, Ziba, is there anyone that's left?" And he says, "Yes, Jonathan hath yet a son that is lame on his feet." He was aware. He knew that there was someone left. When David said, "Ziba, is there anyone that's left?" He didn't, in my terms or how I would hear it, he didn't sit back and go, "I don't know. You figure it out." He knew. He was aware. And I want to challenge you tonight with this is that when God is working on our hearts, when he's pressing upon our hearts, are you aware that there's a lost world out there in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you aware that there are lost people that need you to be able to tell them of what Jesus Christ did for them? I'll pick on myself tonight, because if I'm going to pick on anyone, it better be myself. But I remember I got saved when I was 15 years old. And for probably the first 4 years of my life, I knew what it meant to be saved. But I didn't give it any thought about telling someone else about Jesus Christ. I wasted 4 years. I wonder if that's you here tonight, that you don't even give it any thought. We need to be aware that God has placed people in our lives that only we can reach and no one else. Listen, I'm only here until Thursday and then I'm gone. But this is your mission field, amen? God has planted you right where you're at to try to reach somebody for the cause of Jesus Christ. So we need to be aware. Let's go a step farther than that. Look at verse 4. And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." We see that Ziba wasn't just aware, but I wrote down here, point number 3, he was alert. He knew exactly where Mephibosheth was. He didn't just have an idea. He knew down to the very house that he was in. The application of thought that the Lord gave me was this. It's one thing for me to be aware, to know, okay, people are either going to heaven or hell based on their decision that they placed in Jesus Christ, if they've received him or reject him. But it's a whole other thing to be alert. What I mean by that is, and I'll give these examples, your coworkers. Do you know based on what they believe in, where they stand before Jesus Christ? What about our loved ones, our family members? Have we ever engaged in conversation with them when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to what the Word of God says, to know, okay, Lord, where do they stand with you? We need to engage. We need to get into those conversations, even as uncomfortable as they are sometimes, especially with family, to know, Lord, where do they stand? Do they need you as your Savior? We need to engage. We need to be alert. Amen. I can't stand before you. I was an X-ray tech for 9 years at a trauma 2 facility before I quit my job and became a missionary. And it was my goal to try to at least witness to all my coworkers one time. Every time I drove into work, I said, Lord, give me one opportunity to witness to somebody. And I won't stand before you and say, I've seen everyone saved. But I got a couple, just a few that I hang on to, that I praise the Lord for, that came to trust him and that are faithfully serving him to this day. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you would just pray, Lord, give me somebody today, he'll open up those doors of opportunity. Amen. We need to be alert. We need to be alert. Point number 4, look at verse 5 with me. It says, then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. It doesn't say that Ziba was there, but I would like to think, and this is my thought, but if Ziba knew exactly where he was at, then I would like to think he was the man leading the way or pointing them in the direction. And so the thought for verse 5 is that he was an active servant. We see that these men, it says they went and they fetched Mephibosheth and they bring him unto David. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. We need to be active, actively going out to the lost and bringing them, pointing them in the direction under the king. Amen. Showing them the direction of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to go out and reach them. And I believe we can see the results. Look at verses 6 and 8. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. Look at verse 8. And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" I just want to encourage you, if you'd be faithful and just continue to actively reach people, we'll see fruit. Amen. We'll see that sinner come to realize who they are and who God is and come to receive him as their Savior. I'm telling you, out of everything, I'm not a young person, but out of everything I've done in my life, it never gets old seeing that person bow their heads with tears in their eyes and come to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. Amen. I love it. It never gets old. It's so great. And I'm encouraging tonight, if you've never had that experience, get out there and do something. Amen. Try to reach the people and just stay faithful. Look at verse 7. "And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." I just want to point out, it wasn't anything that Mephibosheth did, but of his father. He says, for Jonathan's sake. And it wasn't anything that we did, but it was all because of Jesus Christ. Amen. What he did on our behalf, that we can have a home in heaven. Amen. That we can have be around our Savior. Amen. And so we see the results there. And I'm going to try to move quickly because I'm running out of time. Look at verses 9 through 11 with me. Point number 5. It says, "Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread away at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that the Lord, my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." You know what I've seen here lastly is that not only was he active, but he was also fifthly, he was an assisting servant. King David says, "I'm not done with you yet, Ziba. You're going to go out, you're going to bring in the fruits, you're going to do the work in the field, and you're going to bring them on while Mephibosheth sits right here at my table." And just the thought that the Lord gave me here was, we shouldn't be just going out and reaching the lost, but we need to get them into the house that they can then continue to grow and continue to strengthen in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his word. Amen. And come to know God and walk with the Lord. We need to try to get them into the house. But I also want to point this out. Verse 10, it says that he says at the verse 10, "And thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, my master's son, shall eat bread away at my table." And here it is. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. He wasn't to do it alone. Amen. He had plenty of help. And I just want to encourage you tonight that if you're not serving anywhere in the church. Now listen, I just met Pastor Knight. He didn't pay me to say this. But if you're not already serving in the church, you know how you can be a blessing and encouragement to your pastor? Is say, "Pastor, where can I help in the church? Where can I serve?" And then I'll say this too. If you're a born-again believer, this is your home church, and you're not helping out, then the body of Christ is suffering to some degree. Because we, to be fully functioning, we all have to have our part. We all have to be doing something. And listen, there ain't nothing wrong with scrubbing a toilet and cleaning up trash. Amen. That's serving the Lord. That's helping. And I love what my pastor, he said, if we're too good to scrub a toilet or pick up trash, then we're too good to serve the Lord. Amen. We all need to have our part. And I'm telling you, if you want to be a blessing to your pastor, just go to him and say, "Pastor, where can I help out? Just give me something that I can be a blessing." Amen. So we see that he had plenty of help here. And then verse 11, I love his response. He says, "According to all that my Lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do." If we would all just have that humble response, who knows what the Lord could do through his church, amen, right here in America, what he could accomplish and what he could do if we would just have that response. And I'm out of time, so I'll just list the last point. If you have time and later you can look at it, if you were to look at 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, and then chapter 19, verses 24 through 30, if you were to look at that, we see just kind of this story unfold where David is off in battle. His son's trying to take the throne from him. And Ziba really comes up with a scheme where he brings all these things unto David. And he says that all these things are for him and his men. And David says, "Where's Mephibosheth?" And David says, really, or Ziba says in my terms, he really says, "He's back at home." And he says, "Today's going to be the day that you die. And everything that was his grandfather's is now going to be his." But we see that when David comes back to Jerusalem after everything's over, He says that Methuselah never trimmed his beard. He never changed his bandages. He never bathed because he was sorrowful and because he wanted his king back. Now, remember, the title of the message was A Servant's True Heart. And really what we see here is that in the end, Ziba was out for himself. He wanted it all for himself. And we see that David says, divide it between you and Mephibosheth. And so the challenge or the final thought and challenge tonight is this. It's great that we're available, that we're aware, that we're alert, that we're active, that we're assisting in the church. But we need to check our hearts and say, Lord, what is my motive? Why is it that I'm doing what I'm doing? And listen, I ask myself that many times just to make sure that my motive, that my heart is right. Lord, am I doing it because out of everything you've done for me, it's the least that I can do for you? It's just to give you my all. We need to make sure that we're not doing it to hear the applause or the confirmation from our brothers or our sisters or those looking from the outside, but that our result and the reason why we're doing it is to glorify and exalt our Savior's name. Amen. And so that's my challenge here tonight. You can bow your heads. We'll pray. Lord, we thank you for the time here tonight. Father, I just pray, Lord, help us, Lord, to have the right motives, to have the right heart, Lord. Lord, you've done so much for us, Lord. There's not enough that we could ever do for you. But Lord, just with the time, with the resources, with the things you've entrusted us with, Lord, help us to give you our all, Lord. Help us to be alert, to be aware of those opportunities that you place before us to share the gospel with somebody else, Lord. Lord, I thank you for that person that took the time to share the gospel with us, that we could personally know you, Lord, that you sent our way. Lord, help us to be that same person to someone else, to point them in your direction. Lord, we love you. Be with the remainder of the service and all that takes place. May you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.